British Spy Stories, Season 1. Spy or Traitor? Episode 10. The light cascades into the room from the water beyond, and a slight breeze billows the curtains at the window. Gabrielle wakes and inspects her body for damage. Her legs have a dozen tiny cuts, made red with salt water from the ride. Her feet are injured too. A minor wound on her left ankle and a bigger one on her right foot, which has spread black and yellow across the bones. Otherwise, she escaped relatively unhurt. Two thoughts tumble across her mind. Firstly, that Ulrich will be redoubling his efforts to find her now, followed by the contrary idea that he may not have linked the woman on his boat last night with the contract he has out to kill her. If he hasn't realized, she will make the most of his poor lateral thinking. Either way round, he knows her face now, and she will need to remain hidden from view or disguised. She showers, re-dyes her hair to dark, and goes to breakfast. The message from Jim arrives on her phone as she finishes her meal. She walks out into the French morning. She calls him back as she crosses the Promenade des Anglais and walks along the seafront. She is between a smattering of people and couples on the pebble beach and a thin stream of cars travelling on the roadway by her side. "I managed to get the data file running overnight, Gab," he says.
"Great. Did it take long?"
"About 5 hours. There's a big spike on two nodes that will interest you."
"Oh?"
she says. "Yes, you said you needed to know where most of the messaging activity came from in the time bands that we spoke about," says Jim.
"What did you find?"
"These nodes have significantly larger rates than the others." Gabby thinks back to which node labels match to which people from the real data.
"Which are the high volume nodes, Jim?" she asks.
"Nodes 16 and 43. The rest show some activity, but nothing like these."
"That's exactly what I needed," she says.
They chat pleasantries for a minute or two, but her clockwork mind has already started to turn. After they end the call, she turns back and makes directly for the hotel. Her heart is pounding in her chest as the lift rises to her floor. She runs to her room, fumbles the keycard, and it falls onto the carpet. She grabs it, slides it across the lock, and the light goes green. Gabby goes straight to her suitcase, presses a combination of numbers on the keypad, and a compartment clicks open on one side of the bag. She lifts out a mini tablet and powers it up. She flicks through the screens and reaches a page with the nodal codes displayed against the real users in the data that Jim analyzed. Her fingers trace down the third column.
"Node 16,
she says.
"Let's see."
She again tracks the information along, then catches her breath.
"Can't be."
She retraces the line, but it comes back to the same name. The words sit in front of her, glowing steadily back from her display. For a second, Gabrielle can't think straight.
"Marjorie?"
she says, over and over in her mind, then concludes it must be wrong. "Marjorie is MI5, and they don't have access to information from MI6. Requests for access have to be made on a case-by-case basis to London Centre. Node 43 is listed as somewhere in the British Embassy in Berlin. That isn't a surprise, as they have a role to be aware of operations in their patch, even those controlled directly by London. She wonders if the data she downloaded using Lady Allardyce's computer had become corrupted. The MI6 mainframe could have had scrambling servers switched on to damage any data grabbed off-grid. She will have to confirm with Marjorie that Five have no interest in the Stranraer killing. It's frustrating as it delays her progress to trace the mole, but it has to be done. Riverside descends the back staircase from the reception area of the British Embassy in Berlin and goes in through the heavy door that leads to some of the areas of the building that are not generally on building tours when dignitaries come to visit. The secure comms room is first on the left, with green and red lights outside, both currently unlit. The archive store is next, with a half-glazed door revealing rows of cabinets with dark shelves of paperwork. The medical room is last on the right. It is starkly bright and efficient. A white-coated doctor sits behind a desk at one end.
"Can I help?" says the doctor.
"I'm here to see Hans," says Riverside, showing his ID.
"Second bed on the right," says the doctor, despite the ward having only one man in it.
Riverside walks on and stops at the foot of the bed. Hans is lying with his eyes closed, his thigh heavily bandaged from the stab wound, and a drip in his arm, fed by a tube from a bottle of clear liquid.
"Gordon,"
Hans opens his eyes.
"We haven't met," he says.
"Riverside, can we talk?" He sits on the bed next to the lying man.
"I'm trying to contact Blackhawk."
"You and many others, it seems."
"Others have been here," says Riverside.
"The guy who did this," says Hans, touching his bandage.
"He said exactly the same."
"Recognize him?"
"No."
"How did you get the wound?"
"I said I didn't know where she was."
"And do you?"
"I'll have to disappoint you, Riverside," he says.
Riverside pauses and considers whether Hans is being totally open with him.
"How well do you know Gabby?" he says.
"She's a friend." "We don't have friends in this job," says Riverside, with more personal remorse than he intended.
"Can you get a message to her?"
"What's the message?" "Meet me in the Gestad Olympia Hotel at noon in 2 days. You know it?"
"I know it."
"Can you do that?"
"I'll explore the possibility," says Gordon.
"You got a dead drop for her somewhere," says Riverside.
"I can drop a message if you can't walk out of here."
"I can walk, Riverside. It's just a scratch."
"Why do you want to meet her?"
"I have some information about a leak which I think she'll be interested in. It's about her friend, Stranraer."
"A leak?" says Hans. "Shouldn't you be going to your head of section with information like that?"
"I'm on your side, Gordon. I know the ramifications of a broken network as well as you do. Our bosses may be involved. We don't know. But I do know that certain people are batting both sides in the ops team."
"You think we have a broken network?"
"I know you think the same."
"Where's the leak?"
"Eyes and ears only, I'm afraid," says Riverside.
"Why Gabby?"
"I know enough about her to know that she'll have a plan to fix it."
"You need to go,"
says Hans, and he closes his eyes. Riverside smiles, but only to himself, and gets up from the bed.
"Thank you, Gordon."
He walks back the way he came. Courtroom robes and a wig hang on a Victorian coat stand near the large mahogany door that leads to the main corridor of the chambers of Milson, Lawton and Hendry, barristers at law. Caroline Lawton, KC, sits with 4 very large ring binders on her desk in front of her. She has known Greg Milson and Rebecca Hendry since university, and they worked together in chambers as juniors before going their separate ways in their late 20s to follow their chosen legal branches, then re-met and formed a chambers 7 years later. By then, Linny knew that criminal law and fraud are the things that make the hairs stand up on the back of her neck. The buzz doesn't fade each time she starts a trial. When she chose to do law as her degree, she had a vision of battling for justice, being a guardian of the poor and needy. The reality of being a barrister, in her mind, is that it is as much about assimilating a huge volume of information in a very short period of time as being the defender of impoverished people. Her current client is David McAllister, and she doesn't trust him. He is accused of obtaining and passing on information from the British Security Services under the cover of his private security business. McAllister has told her that he has contacts in the British Security Services, which she needs to confirm before the case starts in court. For this reason, the court will be closed, no public will be allowed, and the session will be confidential to all those who take part. Any personnel from MI5 or MI6 who are involved will appear on a video link and anonymously. She has had a few cases that link back to national security over the last decade, but this is the largest. She turns the page of the file on the desk. The defence that she has put together is based on the conversations she has had with McAllister over the last 3 weeks, as well as extensive research and collation of data that her clerks have done to create the folders. She is due in court in 2 weeks, and there is a particular area that she still needs to understand before standing up in front of a judge. McAllister has told her that he openly received information from MI6, and that the criminal accusations are nothing more than the legal and justifiable covering up of security work, so that the interaction with McAllister remains invisible to foreign powers. Effectively, McAllister's position is that he acts as a private extension of the British Secret Intelligence Service. She reads a page in the file dated 6 months ago. It is a copy of a message that McAllister said he received. It mentions the operational detail of one of his projects, and it is clear from the papers that MI6 are asking for the work. There are no names on the sheet apart from McAllister's. The words say that the detailed instructions for the job will be conveyed to him in a packet of papers, and that they will be sent by a contact who is inside MI6. Linny is at a loss to know how she will validate that information, and she starts an email to her clerk to approach the UK Government Cabinet Office and start a formal request for court evidence from the MI6 contact. She turns the pages and reads more about the arrangements. After 12 sheets of paper, the instructions end. At the bottom of the final page, there is a name that she hasn't seen before. This person seems key to proving McAllister's side of the story. She adds a further paragraph to her email. The inquiry needs to focus on finding the source of the information given to our client, she writes. And we have evidence that the contact is called... She checks the folder to get the name right. The contact is called Petrov.